Pray that way. Come on, everybody. Once I ran from you. Oh, I can't sing. That's why I talk for a living. That's Tainted Love, Soft Sell on Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. I wish I could sing. I'd be just going crazy right now. Oh, I can't even do that. This song reminds me of basketball camp at Transylvania University here in Kentucky. Absolutely, yes, there's a university called Transylvania University. And they had the best basketball camp. In Kentucky, that's what you do. You do basketball. And I got to go there. It was really a lot of fun. I stayed in dorms and got good at basketball. And darn it, didn't do anything for me except, you know, I can go bounce a ball once in a while. Anyway, we are broadcasting live from more than 600 affiliates in North America, including Puerto Rico, Guam, and Canada. It's Coast to Coast AM that you're listening to. This is out of the iHeart Studios in Louisville, Kentucky, from 840 WHAS. Connie Willis here. Interesting night already, huh? Got the phone lines going crazy. The mail coming in for that. Whoa, that's tough. We want to wish him the best, Jared Rice, a senior. But now we're moving on to something very, very interesting. A lot of Bigfooters out there are going to really like what we're going to talk about in the next couple of hours. And we're going to take some phone calls too. When Bigfooters that I know, there's a big thing with Bigfooters. They go out. I know there's, like, you know, flesh and blood, and then, you know, more of the woo-woo. I hate that word, but, you know, more spiritual kind of thing. And a lot of people will go out into the woods and they just simply take pictures. And from those pictures, where they believe is a hot spot, and where not just Bigfoot, but other types of beings. I don't like to say creatures because that always means they're mean and nasty, you know, but there's like little beings and big beings. And what happens is people take these pictures, and where you and I might just see, it looks like some nice trees. Yeah. Okay. I see some more nice trees, but there's another close up of a nice tree, but actually they will take a pencil or pen or marker, and they'll mark around, and you'll see a face, whether it's a Bigfoot or maybe a little fairy or a little goblin or a little troll or something. They can find these things, and even alien faces and other spirits and little people, all sorts of neat little things. And then you go, oh, I see it. And from there, you kind of start seeing things as well when you start looking and taking pictures. And a lot of people say, well, you're not going to be able to see it unless you take the picture. Then you see it. It's things that are seen without the naked eye, or maybe that you just miss. And maybe as they're morphing and things like that. So there's a lot of conversation about it. It's not just a tiny little thing. It's a big deal. People have entire websites and Facebook page, you know, Facebook groups and things like that, just full of pictures and people really into it. And it's almost like a Where's Waldo kind of thing going on, which I always loved. And it's neat. I find it fascinating. So guess what? All of a sudden, out of the blue, which is actually kind of a good thing to say for this, but out of the blue, William Lawrence shows up. I can't remember if he contacted me, and he may have, or I just saw his stuff. I know he contacted me at one point, but and I don't know if I saw his stuff first. I found it extremely interesting. And what William has done is kind of the same kind of thing. Those people that are into that with the Bigfooters, where they see something after they take a picture. Well, it's kind of what he has done, William Lawrence of Bent Life, where he actually sees more of alien creatures and spirits. And I think you're going to enjoy this very much. In fact, we have some visuals. If you go to the coasttocoastaam.com website, we have a fantastic website, by the way. Absolutely wonderful. All the information, everything you want to know about events, this and that. It's wonderful. But thank goodness we can also show off this wonderful evidence that people have. And William Lawrence has some fantastic evidence. And he's going to be talking about it throughout the show. And if you'd like to go as he references it along the way, I know some of you have no way of doing that. But if you are around your cell phone or your tablet or your computer, go and look at this as he talks about it. It's going to freak you out. You're going to go, holy cow, I see it. You're not even going to have to be pointed out to most of these. And once you see it, it won't leave your mind, because some of them have glowing eyes looking right at you. Like, what's going on? What are you doing? I mean, they're right at you. And it's going to make you wonder. It really is. So go to the website and check it out, because it's all listed there. We got a whole bunch of pictures that our web team put up there, and that was taken by William Lawrence. So let's go ahead and bring on William Lawrence of Bent Life, and we're going to find out a little bit more about him before he talks about what his find is, his discoveries, why, how. And he says that you can do it too. It's that simple. But let's get a little background on him first. First of all, though, welcome, William, to Coast AM.
Thank you so much for having me on, Connie.
You're welcome. This is I know it's your first time ever on here, and actually I guess you know it's kind of, you're out now spreading the word now, right? You've been doing research, you found a lot of neat things, and now you're getting to tell the world, and you're really excited about it. And I got to tell you, they're very impressive. I know as well too that William Lawrence, some of you guys don't know him as William Lawrence, you know him as Bent Light, and he was always known as Bent Light. Well, Bent Light is William Lawrence. So, William, tell me about you, who you are, what is your background?
Well, Connie, I'm a painter from Long Island, New York. I grew up on a farm in Florida on an orange grove, and years ago I decided to go to the big city, and I went to New York, and I started living in Long Island, and I started painting houses and doing construction. And along the way, I was always curious in the paranormal realm of ghosts and spirits. And I would do an occasional ghost hunt here and there, but I wasn't too much into it. But I've always been very curious, and I like to try to figure out things. And that's how I was able to discover what I discovered.
And what is it that you discovered?
Well, it involves light. And what I discovered in 2015, I created an experiment to communicate with ghosts. So in the beginning, I assumed that I would be able to process light, sunlight, and I would be able to communicate with spirits. So spirits would be able to communicate with me as well. So I developed an experiment, and I went outside, and I took about an hour of tests. And when I reviewed the results, to my amazement is when I started seeing these beings inside the light.
And these beings that he saw inside the light, like I said, are on our website at coasttocoastam.com, and you're going to find a whole lot of other great information there too. Hang in, everybody. You're listening to Coast AM. We're going to be talking with William Moore, and he's going to tell you how to do it yourself on Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight is William Lawrence of Bent Light. William was just telling us exactly what it is that he discovered, and he's going to tell us more about it, going to get deep into what his thoughts are, what he's got planned in the future, what he's been doing in research, and what he thinks it might mean for all of us. But even better yet, tell us how we can do it too. Hey there, William. Welcome back again to Coast. So I guess I really kind of want to know how all this started, where, how would you imagine that sun, a bottle of water, and some steel would kind of bring along some really neat pictures for you to change your life?
That's a great question, Connie. And what happened was, it was actually in 2009. There was sunlight coming in through my window while I was living in California. And I decided at the time to take a digital camera and a bottle of water and project the light onto a black refrigerator. And I was trying to take images of light refraction to create the spectrum. So I was just taking photographs of rainbow on a fridge. And while I was reviewing those photographs is when I seen things that didn't look like they should be in the image. So there was objects appearing, like in one scene there was a woman opening the gate to a cemetery, and another scene there was an Indian crossing a creek. and there was three men on a horse in a little cabin to the right. And another scene, there was, it looked like temples and stairs and like a old scenery. And then in another scene, there seemed to be like a soldier, an army soldier with a bazooka strapped to his back, and he was happy, like he was smiling. And then in another scene, all in one photograph of light. And then in another scene, there was what looked like a female, but some form of alien being. She didn't look completely human, but she looked different. So in 2009, I discovered these strange images in one photograph of light,
And
refracted.
you know, just to say this real quick, it's amazing because when other people see things, kind of they see one thing, and you are saying it was you're seeing a scene of things and emotion. That's amazing.
It was actually, Connie, it was actually multiple scenes all in one photograph of light, which was probably maybe not even an inch wide.
Wow. Now, is your background also photography? Not just painting, but photography?
In the beginning, no, I just did it as a hobby. So
Okay.
I do enjoy taking photographs now, but in the beginning, I wasn't really into this. I've always been fascinated by science. Growing up as a kid, I would always be watching Discovery Channel and History Channel and Nova, PBS, Bill Nye the Science Guy growing up. But as I grew up, I just took on this as a hobby.
And never knew that one day it would lead to coast and you telling of stories of ET and spirits.
Yeah, so now that was in 2009. I'm
Okay.
almost positive, but my time is a little blurry from then. So let's fast forward to 2015. So what
Okay.
happened was my mother in Florida found a video camera that I had in my bags when I left California and packed and went back to Florida. So I remembered, hey, I remember seeing these objects, so I asked her to send me the video camera. She sent the video camera. I got the video camera. So now I'm reviewing the video camera, which I still have now. And they weren't as detailed as I remembered in 2009. So what I did is I decided, okay, let me grab what equipment and tools I can find to try to duplicate what I did in California. And then at this time, too, I was already doing a little bit of ghost hunting. So that's when I came up with the theory that this would be a form of communication with the non-physical realm. So, me as a painter, I grabbed a paint mixing stick, which is the carbon steel that I'm using to project the light on. I grabbed a bottled water, my laptop with the Logitech 720p webcam, and I went outside and I ran the first test. And that, to my amazement, was when the photographs started coming in.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's all from what you had remembered from before on the refrigerator. And you said, let me see if I can redo this again.
So I duplicated it in the best way that I could. So I grabbed, remember,
Okay.
the refrigerator was metal. So I knew I needed a black piece of metal. And
Okay.
then I knew I needed water and I knew I needed sunlight. So I must have just had the right combination of equipment. So when I went out to do the experiment, on the very first day of testing over an hour, when I reviewed the evidence, that's when I seen photo number one, the human soul.
Okay, now we do have on our website, as I was talking, we have a list of all his pictures that he's going to be discussing tonight. Now we know that this is radio, and a lot of people are driving or laying in bed listening to it through their ear or whatever. If you are around something, go ahead and take a look at it. So William, as you talk, don't just totally address it to people that don't because there's a lot of people that don't have a website in front of
Right,
them.
so
But please go and refer to them along the way. That'll be nice. I'll be looking at them.
the very first photograph, which was the human soul, the very first thing that I saw, it has a crystal clear eye, it has a nose, a mouth, shoulder blades, and a large white forehead. And it's a complete form of a human head, and it's white and blue and all different colors of the spectrum, but the detail is what's strikingly pretty wild, with the eyeball and the nose and the
Oh
mouth.
yeah,
That was
yes. It is.
It was my wow moment, Connie.
I can see that without a doubt. That's it looks like a bean of some sort. It absolutely does. The mouth is kind of open. The eye, you can even see the pupil kind of looking up to the left, or looking up and to the left. And you can definitely see a shoulder. It's pretty impressive, absolutely.
Probably, I believe, because I've been trying to research this. I believe it's probably one of the most detailed photographs of a ghost, spirit, or, non-physical entity that I've ever seen. I can't say that I've ever seen another one as detailed as this. And that was the very first photograph that started this search of bent light. So if it wasn't for that one photograph, there's a good possibility I wouldn't even be here talking to you right now.
Yeah, I can see that. I would say you're saying ghost spirit kind of thing. It's like an ET to me. It's more humanoid. I don't know. That's really freaky to have that look at you. But some of your other ones that you have are almost, I'm seeing reptilians and eyes that are like reflected. They're like glowing, looking at you. The symmetry that you have is what is so impressive of making it look like, hey, he's got something to this. At first, okay, let's see what the guy's got. Holy cow, this is what he's got. This is amazing. So, do you believe that some of these pictures, do you think it's, just from the specific water bottle that you're using? Is that what you have to use, or do you think maybe that's why it is? Maybe just because there's a little refraction going on because of the bottom of the way the bottle is kind of bent and curved and created, or do you think you can recreate the same thing again, or are these things moving on you? Are they changing on you?
Well, the very first photograph, the human soul, he appeared in three frames before he appeared in detail. So he was on the left, and you could see him start to form a little bit. But then he moved to the right, and you could see him form a little bit more. And then on the third frame, because I take the photographs as fast as my computer can take them, on the third frame, he appeared in complete detail. And then by the fourth frame, he just disappeared. And you brought up an interesting point with the symmetry. And one thing about these photographs is that all of the beings that I'm describing in the photographs have symmetry. So if you were to draw a line, they would have a right side and a left side. And when it comes to symmetry in living things, most living things follow symmetry. So we have a left hand and a right hand. So that's very important. So it's not like you have to, you don't have to edit the photos to make anything appear. They're appearing naturally by themselves.
Oh yeah, the second one as well. It's almost like a turtle face, or you call it the alien face. I can see that as well. You say reptile with gold eyes. I see it. You don't even have to make me, here, let me draw it so you see it. There's none of that. I see it. It's looking right at me, and it's almost got like the little turtle face where it's got a little nose and the little mouth. It's almost got like a turtle head. Am I wrong to say that?
I've actually compared him to a turtle. I was at a lake and I took a photograph of a turtle poking his head out the water, and I compared them side by side when I got home because it just looked the same, and they were facing the same direction, and it's almost the same. So I believe it is some form of an advanced reptile because he has a large gold reflective eyes. He has two nostril holes and an upside down mouth with a large brown head. And you know what's crazy is brown is not in the color spectrum, the light spectrum.
Oh, and I'm seeing browns and golds. All right, thank you very much, Bent Light, or William Lawrence, however you know him as, because he goes by both, is who you are hearing here with me right now. We're talking about the pictures that he got that are really cool. They're on our website. Check them out. But he's going to tell you more about them in depth. We're going to talk about them, how you can do it, and what he thinks this all means, and what it's all about, and what else other people are doing because of his information. You're listening to Coast AM, and this is Connie Willis. It's Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, except I'm filling in right now on the weekend. Yay! We got some of us kind of guest host every now and then, right? Happy to be here. And I'm actually looking at our website once again and looking at William Lawrence, our guest for tonight, Bent Light. I'm looking at the pictures that he got himself from this neat little method that he has. And I'm just, it's overwhelmingly cool, that's for sure. So, William, welcome back again to Coast to Coast. I see, I'm looking at this ET looking back at me with the glowing eyes. I think you call it reptile with the gold eye. It's just, and then I see another little face right next to it. So I imagine this would freak you out when you very first saw this. But the thing about it is, you don't really have to look at it and try to see it. You actually do see all the different colors and the depths and the lines and the symmetry of the face and the cheeks and the skull. It's absolutely amazing. And I want to hear more of the information you have, but I got to just kind of jump to something real quick. And what have some of the scientists or any experts out there that would, I don't know, be called an expert to say, wow? Because I can't imagine them saying, dismissing this.
I would like to also to discuss the technology involved, but I have reached out to experts. I've reached out to SETI Institute, and I've reached out to a lot of physicists and astronomers, and I'll be honest with you, majority of them either told me I was crazy or told me that I'm wasting my time.
Even after they saw the pictures?
Correct.
So what SETI? Okay, so you took it to SETI and they said this the same thing?
Yeah, in 2015, I believe it was in August, I sent them the information. I got in contact with Seth Shostak, and I talked to him over the phone. I explained it the best I could in 2015, but I have learned much more up until now. But he sent me back an email, and I sent him an email with the information that I'm providing to you. And he told me that it is nothing more than just taking photographs on the bumper of a car. It's nothing more than reflections, and I should contact MUFON. So I did that, and I did contact MUFON, but as to now, I've still yet to hear back from them.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, there's a lot of people in MUFON, so you can always get it to other people. But even that, I mean, I don't know. I do research as well, and sometimes it's just enough that I'm happy with it myself. I don't always have to prove it to everybody and let the world know. But I mean, it's fun to let the world know so that they can enjoy it as well. But I tell you what, I'm having a ball looking at them. I think it's a lot of fun. I'm definitely seeing exactly what you're seeing as well. And this is something that you say that anybody can do.
Yes, and this is a new form of technology, and what it is it has to do with photonics. So instead of relaying or relying on radio waves, we're looking at the visible light frequency range. So data, you're able to input and encode data into visible light, and you can modulate that light. And visible light can carry up to 10 gigabytes a second, all the way to 100 gigabytes a second of information. So then now, in order to process that data, you need a certain type of tools and methods to process it. And what scientists are using now to demodulate the visible light frequencies is similar to the method that I'm using to capture these photographs.
And that is.
That is, what they have are lens, like a concave or convex lens. And what happens is the light passes, a laser is what scientists use. The laser passes through a prism and then it splits the light and they can encode the data into there. And then that light that goes through a concave lens, which is directed, or a convex lens, and that light is directed to a photo detector, which is basically nothing more than a camera. So then the camera is able to pick up on the data. So now this technology, it's very difficult to find any information about it because majority of these visible light frequencies are protected. So we, the public, are not allowed to use them. They're currently in use by NASA and other militaries, the Department of Defense, China, their military is using visible light frequencies. So there's a lot of people using this frequency to communicate, but we are not allowed to know about it. And
Wow.
what I have discovered is that in order for these beings and entities to appear in these photons, they must be using some form of quantum entanglement and quantum teleportation. Therefore, they're able to manipulate the light, regardless of where they're at. They're able to manipulate the light. And as soon as I was able to observe their message in the visible light frequency, due to quantum entanglement, they were alerted instantly. So as soon as I took the first photograph and saw them, they knew that I was able to see them, and that's how they acknowledged being seen.
So you believe that this is all it's a form of communication. They're using that communication. You ran across it, but you're also saying that it is known about this type of communication through light, and that we, the normal people, regular population, doesn't know anything about it. But other people, as NASA, like you had said, and others, they do know about it and they're using it. Did I get that right?
Correct. It's called the Free Space Optical Program. What it is they're able to wirelessly transmit data using visible light frequencies. NASA actually begun in 1960 using visible light frequencies. And what it is optical wireless links provide high data rates to support broadband data services. There exists commercial transceivers. And also, the optical spectrum is license free, so they don't need to own a license for it. So there's been many advantages to using optical light instead of using radio waves. So now radio waves is also light. It's part of the electromagnetic spectrum. So now, instead of using radio waves, they're able to use light. And what happens with the light is that you can't intercept it. So if me and you were communicating using this technology, no one could hack into our communication. And even if they did, we would know instantly due to quantum entanglement.
Wow, what would happen?
It would basically the message would disappear. If I didn't want someone else to see it, the message would disappear. Therefore, and then we would be alerted that the message was intercepted, and then we could just transfer to another frequency in the visible light realm.
Okay, that's interesting because, it's all about being able to do things without being hacked, right? And this is a form of communication. So, do you believe that when you have discovered this yourself, do you believe that they knew you were there and they were actually communicating to you?
I'm 100% positive that they knew instantly. Because if you notice in the photographs, they're looking into the camera. So they're acknowledging being seen. And then another thing is, if they didn't want to be seen, they know they can be seen. If they didn't want to be seen, they would have changed the frequency. But instead, for over 2 years, I was able to keep this contact established and continue to take photographs of them for almost 2 years.
So every time you go out, does it happen?
It does not. And what happens is I run the test. So if someone wants to try this method on their own, what they would need is a black piece of carbon steel or a black piece of low reflective metal, and they would need a bottle of water. What would do is put about an inch of water in the bottle. And then you would hold it at a 45-degree angle and 6 inches away from the metal. Then you would let the sunlight pass through the water, through the bottle. And the bottle is a convex lens. It's acting as the lens. The light passes through the bottle, and then you project the light onto the metal, and you take digital photographs of the light on the metal. And you run the experiment for about an hour. You take photographs for an hour, and then you review the photographs. So now I did this test for 2 years. When I first got the first results, I went almost 4 months without getting any other results. So then I continued the experiment because I knew I had to keep going. I had to keep continuing. And then after 4 months, more images started coming in. So they only come in In a week's time, if you ran the experiment for an hour a day and 7 days, you may get one image if you're lucky, but you may have to go weeks without anything. But then one day out of nowhere, you're gonna have five or six images appear, and then the following day there's nothing. So you never know when the signal is clear.
Well, that's good to hear because a lot of times, if somebody's pushing something that that they're just kind of pushing something, they're going to say, "Oh yeah, I get them all the time," and they try to force it to look like something. So it's nice to hear that you say, "Hey, I've just got to keep trying, keep trying," and then I get one once in a while. Well, have you tried? I noticed there's still shots. I mean, and I don't know. Have you tried to film it and see if you see them moving?
It's very difficult to capture video. I have ran video, and I have multiple cameras that I use for this experiment. I have a 1080p and 720p. I've only been able to capture them in still frame in detail on the 720p camera. The 1080p, I have not been able to successfully capture any images. But as far as video, I have not successfully captured video with the direct sunlight through the water onto the metal. But I was able to capture some very strange phenomena using the moon light at night on
Oh.
video. And I did capture an image on video there, but it was not moving at that time. It was more like flickering and vibrating really fast. So these entities move very fast. So I have not been able to capture them on video at this time.
But I heard you say moonlight, so you were able to do it with the moonlight as well as the sunlight.
Yeah, and with the moon, you don't need the metal. You can just use a regular bottle of water. You fill it with an inch of water. You hold it up to the moon, and then you want to have the camera lens close to the actual plastic on the bottle. So you're using the water in the bottle as a lens. And the bottle alone is like a convex lens because it's rounded on both ends. And then the water retains memory. So the water must have something to do also with the refractive process. So it's almost like a prism. And then I was able to capture some pretty fascinating photos and video of the moonlight, but also I captured an unknown sound. I captured some very strange sounds also I
Huh?
picked up.
How'd you do that from the light? How do you know it came from that?
Well, as I was doing the video, and it's in on the video on my YouTube channel, Bent Light, you could hear these growls, and it sounds like a lion growling. So, and it sounds like two separate types of growls. So it could be some type of low frequency language or two beings communicating with each other. But the growls were unknown, almost like an EVP, electronic voice phenomena.
Oh, that's interesting. It wasn't your stomach or anything. It wasn't where you needed a snack, right? It was something else,
I imagine it wasn't my
right?
stomach.
Hey, I gotta ask. You just never know.
Well, I thought maybe it could have been a motorcycle driving by as well, so I
Okay.
tried to rule out everything. I did my best.
Okay, well, we're gonna rule out the stomach growling then too. Okay, so that's interesting. So it's got to be light. Can you just, if you're saying it's sunlight and then moonlight, can I also just take a flashlight and do that in the dark? Or is it the sunlight and moonlight only that you've discovered this?
Well, now I've only used sunlight for my experiments, but I've also tested my exact method and tools with artificial light, with white light. And I have not been able to replicate the results with artificial light. So far, it's only the sunlight that I've been able to get these results. And I believe there's a reason for that, is that our star, the sun, is somehow connected. So if I was in another galaxy and I needed to communicate with Earth, I wouldn't be able to see Earth or pinpoint Earth, but I could see the star. So what I would do is encode my message with the star that is closest to Earth so that when that sun emits those photons, that my message would be encoded and embedded into the light from the sun, that anyone with access to sunlight could tap into my message. So it's almost like if you were to plug in a phone jack into the wall, but instead of the wall, my wall is the sun.
Okay, I gotcha. I gotcha. Well, if you're just joining us here on Coast to Coast AM, this is Connie Willis. We're talking to William Lawrence. Some people know him as Bent Light. So if you've ever looked at anything on Facebook or on YouTube as Bent Light, it's William Lawrence. And William is talking about the photography that he has captured and all the information. And he's also telling us exactly how to do it too. And it's really neat. If you get a chance, please go to our website at coasttocoastam.com, and you will see the pictures he's got lined up that he's talking about. And I think you're going to find that fascinating. Suppose, especially those of you out there that are the people that go out into the woods and take pictures, or yeah, it's mainly woods that I know of. And you see these neat little beans, and you point them out, and you talk about them, and you put them up on one of your social media platforms. Well, you guys are really going to love this stuff because you're going to see what he has found. And it is neat. Usually, when people find things like this, what I have seen is it's usually kind of one bean. But what I'm getting from William's stuff is they're like little scenes. You can see more than one person. You can see what looks like they're doing things. You can see different colors in the. So it really is amazing. And the it's also fascinating that they seem to be looking, as William is saying, they are communicating. They know that he is there getting this, and it's as though they're helping to get it to him. They are looking like at the camera. It's almost like they're going, "Hey, yo, William, yo, here we are." It's pretty interesting. So I hope you get a chance to look at that. William, hang in there with us. We're going to be talking to you next hour. We're going to take a break here. But it's just really interesting stuff. We're going to find out what has happened with William since he's taken these really unique pictures. If things have just been normal for him, or some weird things have happened after that, because normally that's the case, right? When people find things like this, all of a sudden, crazy things happens around them. So, oh my gosh, one of my favorite tunes in all the world. This is my most romantic song in the world. I'm gonna enjoy it myself. I'm gonna let you go. You guys stay with us. We'll be back. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis.